Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Sing it again. Worthy is.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. In rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Let's sing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath of living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath of living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yes, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty,
who was and is
and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Holy,
holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Oh, I will adore you.
Come on, lift up praise to Him this morning. Come on, let's lift Him up.
Worthy
is the Lamb of God who was slain.
Holy, 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 Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He.
Singing a new song, yeah.
Sing a new song.
For Him who sits on the throne.
For Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Sing it again. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Just the voices singing now.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Hallelujah.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Holy,
holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I see praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Did you know right now that all of heaven, the seraphim and the cherubim and the 24 elders, if you read the book of Revelation, says they're all falling down and they're saying continually, holy, to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy is the Lord. They say it continually, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And guess what? You and I get to join in. We get to join in with the host of heaven today and say it with them. Holy, holy, holy. Why don't you say it with me today? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. Worthy is the one that's worthy to take the scroll and open it. Worthy is the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world. The one who was willing. Yes, Father, I'll go save them. I'll go redeem them. I'll give my life. I'll shed my innocent blood. I'll go. He's worthy. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Praise you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands with me and worship the Lamb of God? Worship Him. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Holy. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. We thank you for who you are and all that you do for us. Glory. We thank you for all that you are. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up a praise to Him this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Sing holy,
holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Hallelujah.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Would you stretch your hand toward me this morning and pray with me? I'll pray for you, Father, as we come to your word. We're asking for your anointing to settle down in this place in a very tangible and special way. We know you're already here. But God, it is your word that sets us free. It's your word. It is your truth that holds everything up in our lives. We put on the belt of truth, Lord. We put it on, God. We don't want to be deceived, Father. We just pray against deception in our lives. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we would seize and grab hold of your word, the truth of your word, with a tenacity and with a determination like never before, because we know that we are so near to your coming, Jesus. Oh, I pray that you would help this bride, your bride, your church, to be ready, to be holy, to be spotless, to be pure. Whatever you've got to do in each and every one of us, God, help us to get ready for your beautiful coming. Jesus, we ask you to speak to us. We ask you to move mightily in this place. Anoint your servant, anoint your hearers, and may the word of God fall on good ground. And may it change and transform us today in the name of Jesus. We pray, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5 and just keep your Bibles open there. I'm not going to read the text at the beginning today, but we will be referring to this passage as we move through it today. 2 Kings chapter 5. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to talk to you this morning about what to do with your options. How many of you know that we all have options? But we need to know what to do with them. At the onset of this message, I want you to think about two words: options and decisions. One gives rise to the other. Options are diverse. Decisions are often difficult. An option only has power when it becomes a decision. How many of you know that we're making decisions every day? Decisions. We're forced to make a lot of the decisions that we have to make. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't like feeling forced to make a decision, especially on the cuff. But sometimes that's what it requires. And we need God's wisdom. We need the ability of God to discern what decisions to make in those times that their decisions are required to be made immediately. Options can be confusing. The need to make a decision can be paralyzing. In fact, multiple options can create prolonged decision-making as you try to figure out the best option to take, the best road to take. You're at a fork, you're at a crossroads, and you're trying to decide, which road do I take? And here in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read about three people who did not like their options to begin with, but they were able to make the absolute best of a bad situation and get victory over their circumstances and joy in the process. How many of you know that God can give us victory in our circumstances? God can bring victory in our lives. I want to look at three things this morning. What do you do with your options? First of all, you do what God desires. Do what God desires. Right out of the gate, the most telling thing you're going to learn about Naaman is not that he was a general or that he was a war hero, but the Bible says in verse 1 that he was a leper. He was a leper. Now, leprosy in the Old Testament was equivalent to AIDS in our modern times, with this difference. Leprosy was highly contagious. Can you imagine how a person with AIDS would be treated today? If you could get AIDS by touching someone or just by breathing the same air, AIDS sufferers would have to be quarantined and isolated. There was no more terrible thing that a person could be a part of than to be called a leper in Old Testament times or even New Testament times. And now Naaman was in a desperate situation. He had tried every ointment. He had tried every salve. He had visited every doctor he could visit. I mean, this man already had plenty of money. It wasn't an issue of money. How many of you know that sometimes money can't buy everything? Money can't buy everything. And so it was to no avail. He was still a leper. He was still in his leprous condition. It was contagious. His condition was contagious. It was incurable. And it was fatal if something was not done. And it's here that this story takes an incredible turn. Look at verses 2 and 3. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Here was a slave girl, a foreigner, who had been kidnapped away from her family just so that she could be a slave to this commander of the army. She had a God consciousness about her. She knew about a man of God who had the power of God on him and could heal Naaman. All she had to do was tell Naaman and he could go for his healing. Now let me ask you a question right here. Do you think she liked her options? Think about it. Naaman and his army had raided her home, had taken her away from her parents. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here? She probably had some resentment toward this man. "You've taken me out of my context, out of what is comfortable. You've taken me out of my country. You've taken me away from my parents, from my love and my happiness and security of my home." And now she was faced with a decision. Do I help this man or do I hurt him? Think about it. All she had to do, she could have just done nothing. She could have just kept her mouth shut. She didn't have to say there was a prophet. She didn't have to say, "I know a man." She could have said to herself, "I can't believe he's treated me this way. I can't believe he's put me in this position. He deserves this leprosy. He deserves to die in his condition." Are you hearing me today? But see, no, she showed compassion. She had a God consciousness about her. Hallelujah. She was refusing to give in to bitterness. How many know out of babes God has ordained strength? Sometimes out of children God can speak to us. And right here, out of this slave girl, God was speaking to Naaman. But at first he was not willing to listen. She could have stayed silent, but she spoke up and said, I know a man, I know a prophet. There is a man who is in Israel who can heal my master's body. I'm here to tell you, I know a man. His name is Jesus Christ today. I can't heal your situation. I can't fix your situation. But I know a God who can. Jesus Christ is his name. He knows how to turn that circumstance around in your life. I know a man, and we've got to go to other people who are in bad situations and feel like there's no hope for them. And we've got to tell them, I can't fix it, but I know one who can. His name is Jesus Christ. We ought to point them. We've got to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We've got to point people to Jesus. Hallelujah. She had an option here, and I believe she chose. It's evident that she chose to help rather than to hurt. How many of you know that every day we've got that option? We can either help people or we can hurt them. We can help people by serving. We can help people by going out of our way. How many of you know that you hurt them when you hold bitterness and you hold strife and you say, well, that they deserve the situation they're in. They've made their bed. They just need to lie in it. Aren't you thankful that God didn't give up on you? Aren't you thankful that somebody had mercy on you? Aren't you thankful that somebody prayed for you? Aren't you thankful that somebody had compassion on you? I'm telling you today, love covers a multitude of sins. I'm not saying that God winks at sin. No, God makes us accountable for sin. We need to repent, and we need to confess, and we need to receive His forgiveness in our lives. But I'm here today to tell you, love always wins. So we've got to err. If we're going to err, we need to err on the side of love and mercy and not on the side of judgment. And so this slave girl was saying, you know what? He's been mean to me. He's taken me away from my family. But I can't stand seeing him in this situation. I can't stand seeing him hurting the way he's hurting. I want to do something about it. I know a man. And he's the prophet in Israel. Elisha, the man of God, can do something about your situation. Secondly, what we do with our options? We do what God deserves. Do what God deserves. Now the real hero comes to the forefront. Prophet by the name of Elisha. He was exactly what Naaman needed. Elisha was not just a prophet. He was not just a country preacher. He was paid the highest compliment that anyone could ever be paid. He was a man of God. If you are a man of God or a woman of God, I believe that is the highest compliment you could ever be paid. Hallelujah. You see, we'll see later that Naaman had not gone to him at first like he was told to do. I guess he just didn't want to take the advice of this little slave girl, so he went on to the king. He came up with his own plan. How many of you know that sometimes God, we try to come up with it? God gives us a plan. He says, this is what I want you to do. And then we try to come up with our own plan. Let me ask you something. How did that work out for you? How did that work out for you? You see, the king was helpless and powerless in this situation. The king had a lot of power. The king could give orders to soldiers, but he could not heal sickness. And that is why in verse number 8, so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard it, the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a God, there is a prophet in Israel. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Could Elisha have struggled with his options right here? I think he did. Elisha was known as a man of God among his own people, and his reputation had spread even to the pagans of his day. These included the Aramaeans, who controlled the lands of Damascus to the north of Israel, and Aram frequently attacked Israel during this period, plundering the land, raiding the people, and taking captives. And the general who loved these raids, who was on board with these raids, and who was empowering these raids was this general named Naaman. Elisha could have looked at this as an opportunity to get back. How many of you know that we're faced with situations all the time with an opportunity to get back at somebody, to retaliate? And our flesh will say, you need to get back at them. Our flesh will say, they've done you wrong, you need to do them wrong. But I'm here to tell you today, as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, when somebody comes to you in that way, don't give it back in the same way. Give it back in a different way. They come with evil, you come back with good. They come with intentions to harm, you come back with intentions. God bless them. God pour out your spirit on them. God move in their lives. And here Elisha was saying, out in my flesh, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to obey you, God. You're calling me to reach out to this man, so I am going to do it. Aren't you thankful today that the gospel is not just for some? It's not just for a few religious people. It's not just for you and I here sitting today. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for all who will call upon him to be saved. For God so loved the world, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The same God who saved you and me wants to save that person beside of you, the person out in the world, that person that doesn't know Christ. Hallelujah. So Elisha looked at this man and said, yeah, he's a pagan. He hates God. He hates my country. He's performed all these raids against my people. He's attacked and plundered my nation, probably even hates me. And he could have had a bad attitude. But here's what he did. He was faced with the option to reject Naaman, but instead he received him. The little girl was faced with the option, do I help or do I hurt? She chose to help. Elisha was faced with the option, do I reject or do I receive? Instead, Elisha chose to receive. If we're going to err, let's err on the side of grace and mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. He wanted Naaman to know there was a God in heaven. And this is exactly what God deserves. God deserves for us to do everything we can do to help other people see that there is indeed a God in heaven, and they need to call upon him to be healed and to be saved. Jesus is our only hope. He's our only hope for deliverance. He's our only hope for healing. He's our only hope for salvation. Jesus is the only hope we have. But I want you to notice that he dealt with Naaman not on Naaman's terms. How many know that God doesn't deal with us on our terms? He deals with us on his terms. We often think we have a better plan than God. Again, I will ask you, how did that work out for you? Because your plan is not better than God's plan. My plan is not better than God's plan. Can you just see this scene with me? Imagine it with me. As Naaman rides up to this prophet's little tent on a beautiful white stallion surrounded by his powerful troops, and perhaps the medals from all of his victories were gleaming in the sun. I mean, we don't know. I mean, he was there with his powerful army and he pomp and circumstance, if you will. I mean, this was a mighty man in the eyes of the world. You would think that Elisha would just, you know, jump up real quick from where he was and go out to meet him, right? And it's kind of like if the president visited your home, right? I mean, you would make sure you do everything to accommodate the president. I mean, you would show honor to his position and to as leading our country, right? Elisha just sends his servants out. He says, y'all go out and talk to him. Do what? You go out and talk to him. He's basically saying, I don't I'm not going to pay attention to your position, your power, and your prestige, or your possessions. Naaman came as a general who happened to be a leper, but he was treated like a leper who happened to be a general. And when you deal with people, there is another option you won't like. You'll be tempted to tell people what they want to hear, but oftentimes you need to tell them what they need to hear. That's when you really know if you're loving someone. If you really love somebody, you will tell them not just what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. Amen. That's what Paul was talking about to young Timothy when he said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. He said, I want you to preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. He said, I want you to convince and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come. The time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will say, tell me what makes me feel good, and tell me what tickles me, and tell me what makes me feel good about myself. Pat me on the back and tell me it's okay to live my lifestyle of sin. I'm here to tell you today, if somebody really loves you, they'll tell you the truth even when it hurts. We've got to speak the truth in love in these last days, and keep people out of deception, and keep us away from the captivity of the devil. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is coming, and we need to be free from every vice and lie and scheme and tactic of the devil. It's time to be free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Elisha was saying, in essence, Naaman, I don't care about your reputation or your recommendation from the king, and I really don't care how much money you brought with you. I have a word from God, and this is what you need to do. If you want to be free, you're going to have to obey God. And I'm going to tell you something, your money will not get you what you really need. What you need is to fall on your face before God and get humble and get broken and get rid of the pride in your life and cry out to God and say, I need you now more than I ever have before. Restore me, heal me, save me, deliver me. Do whatever you've got to do inside of me, God. Thirdly, and lastly, do what God demands. You got to do what God desires, you got to do what God deserves, but you got to do what God demands. Naaman was a leper, but perhaps that was not his main problem. His main problem was pride. How many of you know that's our main problem too? Until you get pride under subjection, you cannot be God's man or God's woman. Until pride is brought under subjection to the Spirit, God can't use you the way He wants to. God uses broken things. You want to write something down today, then write that down, because God uses broken people. He uses surrendered people. He don't use people that are full of themselves. He uses people that are full of His Spirit and full of His power and full of humility and brokenness. We read in verse 1, when we read about him in verse 1, you will find out he was probably a 4-star general, and probably led one of the most powerful armies in the world. He had already suffered perhaps great indignity by being told by this little slave girl, you need to go visit the man, you need to go visit the prophet. He didn't want to do what she told him. How many know that was pride? I told you a few minutes ago, God can speak through a child to you. As a matter of fact, unless you come to God as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And what happens to us as we get older is we think, oh, well, I don't have to behave like that, and I don't have to be humble like that, and I don't have to be innocent like that. And how many of you know if we'll just get down to earth and get real and get humble and get broken before God, God will bless us in ways we've never dreamed. We need to come to Him as a little child, get real and get humble and just have simple faith. God, Your Word says this, so I'm going to do it. I'm not going to analyze it to death. I'm not going to critique it to death and come up with my own plan and my own way. How about just simply doing what God said to do and then seeing the blessings that come with that? I'm here to tell you today, if we will obey God, the heavens of God will open up over us like we've never seen before. If we'll just obey God. I believe that is a word from God here today. Start obeying God in the small things. Obey Him day to day, and oh, glory to God. Obey Him. It starts with seeking the face of God every day. Hallelujah. So verses 5 and 6 says, so the king of Syria said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. I read in one place, I don't know how accurate this is, but it just can give you an idea, that what Naaman was bringing was equivalent to somewhere between $2 and $4 million. That's a lot of cash, right? My goodness. Why was he doing this? Well, it shows you the severity, how desperate his situation was. How many know if you get desperate enough in a situation, you'll go to great lengths to change it? You've been in pain before. If you get in enough pain, you'll go to great lengths to alleviate that pain. And so that's where Naaman found himself. He thought his healing had a price. He thought his healing was for sale. So he took a king's ransom to buy His cure. You see, some people want to buy God with money. I've got news for you here this morning. You cannot buy God. You can't buy the blessings of God. As a matter of fact, if you look at Isaiah chapter 55, he said, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come and eat. He said, come freely. Come drink freely of the water of life. You don't have to buy it. It's already been bought for you. Hallelujah. For by grace have you been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not saying it came free. Oh, it was a tremendous price. It was paid when Jesus gave His life on the cross, but it doesn't cost you and me a thing except to come to Him and trust Him and believe. Hallelujah. Reminds me of what Peter told Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. He said, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you're poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. You cannot buy these kinds of blessings. They've already been bought, so tap into them today. Naaman had medals. He had awards. He had decorations. He had trophies probably spread throughout his place of abode, but they were useless. Useless. Verse number 7, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes. Am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. And how many of you know that there was nothing the king could do here? There was nothing. He was actually fearing the situation because he thought there was a conflict right around the bend. May I tell you something today? If you want to get God involved in your life, how many of you want God in your life? You don't need a recommendation from a king. You need a recommendation from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. He's the one who said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes into the Father but through me. We need a recommendation from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Some of you are heavy laden this morning. You're weighted down. But he said, if you'll come to me, I will give you rest. Rest spiritually, rest emotionally, and rest physically. Hallelujah. Elisha tells him exactly what to do in order to be cleansed of his leprosy. He said in verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash. Remember, Elisha is still sitting in his house. He gives his messenger this message to give to Naaman. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. How many times? 7. You know that's God's number for completion, right? You want my work to be completed in your life? You've got to do what I tell you to do and do it to full completion. Obey me fully. 7 times. And your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. Was Naaman grateful for what he was asked to do? Not hardly. Look at verses 11 and 12. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself. You see, that's where we err sometimes, right? We've got this mental model. We've got this image of how God is going to do these things in our lives. And when he doesn't perform the way we had imagined and envisioned, we get all tripped out, right? It messes us up. I'm here to tell you today that God's ways are not your ways. I just want to remind you of that. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He said, surely he will come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was not just a little bit upset. He was furious. Irate. How many times have we said, God, I don't like the options you presented to me. So I'm going to create another one. I'm going to come up with another plan. What about this, God? I got a better idea. You mean you got a better idea than the one who put the stars into place? You got a better idea than the one who set the moon and the sun in place and who separated the land from the waters? You got a better idea than him? Okay. Let me know how that works out for you. You see, Naaman had an option he didn't like. Do or die. In other words, God said, you can do it my way and live, or do it your way and die. You can do it my way and live, or do it your way and die. How many of you know that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death? Proverbs 14 and 12. It's a way that seems right. That way that you're going, it may seem right, but you ought to check it with the Word. You ought to check it by the Spirit of God. You ought to check it and make sure that you're going God's way. In essence, Naaman said to Elisha, I'll die if I have to bathe in that water. Elisha said, you'll die if you don't. Naaman was saying, I'd rather die than to bathe in that water. And Elisha said, Naaman, you'll have to die before you bathe in that water. You'll have to die to your pride. You'll have to die to what you think is the best way for your life. You'll have to die to your own ways and your own developments and your own generation. You will have to die to that.
Naaman had a choice. He could die in his pride or he could die to his pride. I don't know about you, but I'd rather die to my pride than to die in it. If there's one thing that God is looking for in these days, it's just people who would get real and get honest and get humble before God. Let go of the pride. None of us have it all together all the times. You are not, listen, you're not the greatest saint that ever lived, by the way. I hate to burst your bubble. And neither am I. What we need is the grace of God every single day to stay in His Word, to stay in His presence, to stay in the truth and be real and be humble and be broken and come to God as a little child. Oh, God, I want to make it. How many of you want to make it to heaven? Hallelujah. How many of you want to live the abundant life that is available in Jesus Christ? I'm not just going to wait to heaven to have joy. I've got joy right now. I've got peace right now. I've got a serenity right now. Hallelujah. I've got the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. Servants came. Notice how, before I say that, notice how we need others. And I'm bringing this to a close in just a few moments. We need others in our lives to bring proper perspective, to see things from the right angle. Naaman got all furious and got all mad, but he needed his servants. He needed somebody that was close in his life to say, wait a minute, you don't have a right attitude. You don't have the right perspective. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 13. And his servants came near. How many of you know that was a bold move? For his servants to basically rebuke and confront their master. My father! If the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says to you, wash and be clean? We need accountability in our lives. We need people to speak to us and confront us and challenge us. I told you a few moments ago, that's how we know when people really love us. Well, Naaman decided to do what God demanded, and look at the result. Verse 14 says, well, he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When Naaman believed God and obeyed God, even though he did not understand God, and even though his pride had taken a huge hit, God cured him and cleansed him. I believe he felt the lightest he had ever felt in his life, not just physically. He hadn't just been touched physically. He had been touched spiritually. There had been a change that had taken place inside of him. God had gotten rid of all that stinking pride that was keeping him from being set free. I'm here today to tell you, if you'll just get humble and get broken and get real before God, you will feel greater than you've ever felt in your life when you come as a little child. As Pastor Tommy comes, when you obey God and trust God, even though you don't understand Him, you can expect Him to bless you. You can expect a breakthrough. How many of you want a breakthrough in your life? Obeying God is the key to your freedom, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it doesn't line up with your theology or your philosophies, obey God. Sir Leonard Wood was once invited to visit the King of France. It was such a pleasant experience for the king that he invited his honored guest to return and immediately set a time for dinner at a later date. When the day finally arrived and Sir Leonard returned to the palace, the king, meeting him in one of his great halls, said, Sir Leonard, what a surprise to see you. I did not expect it. Why are you here today? Wood said, Your Majesty, did you not invite me to dine with you? The king said, Well, that is correct, but you didn't answer my invitation. Leonard Wood replied, Your Majesty, a king's invitation does not need to be answered. It simply needs to be obeyed. Well, when you do what God desires, when you do what God deserves,
and you do what he demands, you will experience victory in your life. Not just once, but over and over and over again. Who here wants to live a victorious life? Hallelujah. When you obey God, you open up the blessings of God over you. I cannot help but think about Deuteronomy chapter 28 in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth, and all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Anybody want his blessings to overtake you? He said, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. He said, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. He said, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. He said, the Lord will cause your enemies who come in one way to flee before you in seven ways. You want victory over the devil? You want victory over sin? You want victory over the powers of darkness? Then start obeying God. You don't have power over Satan until you submit to God. You don't have power over those demons that are fighting you until you get surrendered to God and his word and his power. He said, You surrender yourself fully to God. The enemy will come against you one way. He will flee before you in seven ways. And the Lord will command a blessing on you and your storehouses, in all of which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he sworn to you, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. In the last verse, in verse 13, he said, and I'll make you the head and not the tail. Oh, glory to God. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them. And if you go on to read Deuteronomy 28, the very opposite is also true. If you do not obey, all these curses will come upon you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life in a curse. I want to live my life under the blessing of God. I want the blessings of God to overtake my life. I want the blessings of God to overtake you. I want the blessings of God to overtake this church. And the more people we have individually obeying God and we come together corporately, the more the blessing of God is going to be poured out, the more the Spirit of God is going to be moving in our midst. You've got to obey God if you want to see him move in your life, in your home, in your family, in your community, in this world today. It starts with you and me. Be the change. Don't wait on somebody else to change. Change yourself. Be the change that you want to see. Stand on your feet and give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be the change. Be the change. Lift those hands and give him praise.